Lord, no matter where each of us are at this morning, whether we've had a wonderful Christmas and we come with glad hearts that are close to you, or whether we come with hearts that feel as if you are a million miles away, I pray this morning you would meet us where we are at, that you would speak to us and reveal yourself again to us, that we would see your majesty no matter what our life circumstance. We come ready to hear you this morning, Lord. Challenge us, refresh us, renew us, we pray. Amen. When things are going well, where do you turn? Well, I hope you turn to the Bible. You could turn anywhere to the Bible pretty much when things are well. You can turn to any passage and feel encouraged and motivated to continue to read. But where do you turn when life isn't as positive as you would hope? Where life isn't going as swimmingly as it ordinarily does? Where do you turn when, in the midst of your walk with God, he feels like he is a million miles away, and any notion of a relational God seems very distant? Where do you turn? For me, I turn to the Psalms. Why? Because it's a great place to turn. It's a great place to turn because it's the very place in which we can go to and hear firsthand of the experiences of other brothers and sisters who have gone before us. It's a great place to turn to be encouraged that we are not alone in our circumstances. It's a great place to rejoice. It's a great place to mourn. It's a great place to sing of praise, and it's a great place to question. In a sense, the Psalms give us permission to cry out to God in honesty, whether that is in praise or in suffering. It is no wonder the book of Psalms has been so vital in the life of the church. It is no wonder that this great collection of songs and prayers and poems have been at the forefront of discipleship. It's no wonder that's when we tell people to turn when things aren't going real well. They're powerful. And often in my darkest moments and in my times where God feels so far away, it is Psalm 13 that holds me true. I resonate with David, a man who is one who is known as a man after God's own heart, a king, one who is to walk closely with God and enjoy his presence forever. Yet one who experienced the full range of emotions as any one of us do and would. He cries out at the very beginning, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me?" That's four painful and honest questions, are they not? I mean, these are not happy, clappy questions. And in a sense, David isn't asking for an answer from God. He's not looking for information. It's just simply the cry of his heart for the situation in which he finds himself. Now, what causes David to cry out like this? Well, we're not exactly sure. But if you know much about David's life, the opportunities are plentiful. Going to read through the story of David, the life of David, and any opportunity to cry out to God was seemingly often for David. I mean, it could have been the fact that King Saul was tracking him down to top him off, chasing him through the desert in caves. Or maybe it was the fact that he had come to conviction in the fact that he'd had one of his key commanders killed because he'd slept with his commander's wife. Or maybe it was that his narcissistic son, Absalom, was trying to have him killed to ascend his throne. The circumstances for this crying out are plentiful. But whatever the circumstance is or was for David, the pain in which he cries out to God is real. The questions in which he asks God are real, and they're questions that at least I have asked often. Have you? Have you asked these questions? In the midst of pain and suffering and hurt, where God feels distant, have you cried out, "How long, O God, until I see you face to face? How long, O God, will you allow me to sit in my suffering? How long, O Lord, will you hide from me?" I have. They're painful. But this isn't the only psalm in which David cries out, "Where are you, God?" is it? This isn't the only psalm in which we hear this kind of cry. Psalm 22. David cries out, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer by night, and am not silent." If we are to walk with God at any stage of our lives, we will go through these desert periods. We will go through these times in which we feel lonely, where the notion of a personal and relational God does not even enter our minds. But it's not just you and I who have asked these questions. It's not just David who has asked these questions. Do you hear the voice of another crying out in Psalm 22? Listen again, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Have we heard this before? Who has been the one who has cried out? These are the words that our Lord Jesus uttered as he hung on a wooden cross. My God, why have you forsaken me?" In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus himself on his knees crying out to God, knowing that the next day would lead him to his death, knowing that the next day he would be nailed to a cross so that humanity could be walked and ushered back into a relationship with God. And Jesus is on his knees, sweating with stress to the point of blood, crying out, "Lord, if there is any other way than the way of tomorrow, then I wouldn't mind hearing about it. If there is any chance that death on a cross could be avoided and somehow another way that we can bring humanity to ourselves, I would really appreciate it if that could be brought to the fore now." Yet, even as he cries out to his Father, he says, "Not my will be done, but yours." Our own Lord and Savior, Jesus, felt distant from his Father. When he hung on that cross, his Father felt as if he was nowhere. a billion miles away. And if anything can be taken from this, it's that surely we have encouragement for when we feel as if God is a million miles away. Our Lord Himself knew that pain. Our Lord Himself cried out to God in honesty, questioning God. Does it not give us permission? Or at least it is somewhat of an explanation of how we react when God feels so distant from us as humans. But why does God at times feel so distant from us? At least in this moment, we can see in Psalm 13 that for David, the reason why he felt so distant from God was because of life circumstances. People were pursuing him, clouded by the world around him. He couldn't lift his eyes to see God. Perhaps it's sin, personal sin that infects our lives that cause us to distance ourselves from God. God feels distant because we have chosen to distance ourselves by our actions. Well, we see that back in the Garden of Eden, do we not? Adam and Eve, they choose to disobey God. Their first reaction is to what? Well, firstly, to look at each other, probably giggle a little bit because now they knew they were naked, and then hide behind a bush. They tried to hide themselves from God. That is often the case when sin enters into our lives. When personal sin takes a grip on us, we hide. And then as we hide, we start to wonder where God is. That can be a cause of our distance from God. Sometimes it's life circumstances. Sometimes it's the grip of a personal sin in our lives. But other times, it's just the mystery of God. Sometimes it's not personal sin. Sometimes it is not life circumstances. Sometimes it's just the mystery of God. We don't understand why God feels so distant. But as we've seen this morning, perhaps it's just that moment of the rubber band that stretches us, that we don't fully comprehend, nor do we come to terms with it all that easily. Yet, it's just a reality. It's just the mystery of God. So it's in these moments when God feels a million miles away that we at least have to stop for a moment and at least ask some questions of ourselves. Is God distant because I'm wanting Him to be? Is He distant because I'm crippled with sin and I think He can't, if I don't talk to Him, if I choose to ignore Him, that somehow He kind of can't see me? Or is it just the pressure of the world that is engulfing us? That we just cannot see Him through the tirade of the world and its pressures? When we ask ourselves those questions, we're left with another one. What do we do? How do we get out of this rut? I saw a clip of a woman by the name of Fiona. Fiona had 20-some years previously to this moment, had a miraculous moment of introduction to Jesus. Her life and the life of her husband were radically transformed when they came to know the truth of Jesus. They gave up their lives. Both were very successful, both very high profile, both celebrities, in fact. And both had come to this saving knowledge of Jesus, that his life and his death were sufficient for their sin and that they could have a relationship with Jesus. And he radically transformed them. They gave up all sorts of career opportunities. They used their money. God had given them a desire to serve him, to expand his kingdom, so they'd given so much money away. And as life was seemingly moving along swimmingly, her husband develops cancer. And they go through treatment after treatment after treatment, and it's unsuccessful. And Fiona recounts the time that they were sitting in hospital, and her husband was laying there, and he looked up to her and he said, "Sweetheart, I think God has forgotten us. I think God has left us." And so Fiona recounts the story as she waited for her husband to fall asleep. She prayed. She, knowing those feelings of abandonment, she cried out to God. And as she cried out to God, she sought her own heart, and as she went back to Scripture, she remembered all that God had done for them. That if she says that if she couldn't go to God himself in the midst of this pain, then she had nowhere else to turn. God had radically transformed her life. He had given her huge purpose, huge conviction that she had to follow him. And if she couldn't turn to him, if he wasn't present, then she had nothing left. And it was at that moment she realized God is actually in the silence. That God had never left her or her husband, that God was present in the silence. And she just needed to sit and listen again. In a sense, Fiona had to fight for joy, to steal a line from John Piper. And it's in those moments where God feels far that we too have to fight for joy. And it's precisely what David did here. Read with me from verse 5. Or from verse 4, let's take it from there. "My enemy will say, 'I have overcome him,' and my foes will rejoice when I fall. But, David says, I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me." As he cries out, "Where are you, O God? How long will you be distant from me, God?" At this moment, David fights for joy and cries out, "But I will trust in your unfailing love, God." And we miss the translation, the full meaning of the translation in the English. But in the Hebrew, what we translate unfailing love is hesed. We're supposed to say it with more of a, but I just don't want to do that for the children's sake. But it's this is kind of moment, this he trusts in the hesed of God. He trusts in the love of God, not some sugary notion of love, not some emotion that we often, and particularly in our world, perceive as love, where love is just simply how we feel towards something or one another. No, David cries out and says, "I trust in your unfailing hesed. I trust in your unfailing character. I trust in your covenantal love. I trust in the promises that you have ordained, and it's in those that I sit and I wait. It is in that moment I don't run off with my thoughts, but I come back again and again and again, and I fight for joy because you, O God, are faithful, and you have not abandoned me, and I can see it tangibly." That's the richness of hesed. David doesn't just feel that God loves him. He looks back over the history of his own life and the history of Israel and sees God's faithfulness played out time and time again. He can take that to the bank. He remembers the words and the promises that God had given to Abraham. He remembers God's character in delivering the nation of Israel out of the hand of Pharaoh. He remembers God's mercy even when Israel failed. He remembers God's promises regardless of the actions of his people, because he knows the character of God. He is faithful. He is loving. He is merciful. And he is present even in the silence. Glorious, isn't it? A man crying out to God who can still pull himself back and say, no, I know, I have seen, I have tasted the graciousness of God, and it is there I sit. When my world is crumbling down, it is there that I stamp my feet. In God's hesed. When God feels a million miles away, where do you stand? Do you run? Do you choose to ignore God? Do you run further and further away? Or do you lift your eyes and fight for joy? Satan rejoices time again when you run further from God. Yet God rejoices when you come near to him. When God feels far, we fight. We pray. We don't give up praying. We don't give up reading the Word, because it is in the Word that we see the character of God played out tangibly. And we fix our eyes on the cross of Jesus. For there is the place where God's hesed is most clearly displayed for all of creation. Do you remember that moment where you first came to your saving faith in Christ? Do you remember the joy in which you felt, a joy that is unspeakable? Look back over your lives and tell me, has God ever failed you? Well, why would he now? No, friends, we fight for joy. We fight because his word is true. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Don't go it alone. We have to fight through the word and in prayer, but we fight our pride. And when we feel that God is a million miles away, we go to one another, and instead of running from the community of faith, we should be running to, asking people to surround us and to be praying for us, sharing our life circumstances, sharing about how God is stretching us. There is power in community. A friend of mine started his first pastorate, first senior pastoral position, and his wife had had her third miscarriage. He hadn't long been at the church, about 12 months at the church, and his wife had had her third miscarriage. And he had a close group of friends, and he was sharing with them of the pain and how God was absent, and they were grieving and hurting. And his mate looked at him and said, Dave, my prayer for you is that you would fight to pray. My prayer for you is that you would fight to pray. That you would fight to pray and commune with God. That you would fight for relationship with him. That you would pour out your heart in honesty, but that you would not walk away and try and do it alone. When your friends are saying that God feels distant, are you praying for their capacity to pray and to trust? Are you praying that they would have the courage to fight for joy? If not, do it. We are brothers and sisters after all. Friends, we can bank on the character of our God. No matter where we find our lives placed, whether God is feeling distant or whether we're walking swimmingly with Him and we are loving His presence, we can continue to trust in the character of God. He is faithful and He is just and He is present with us. Allow the words of Deuteronomy and quoted again in Hebrews ring true in our ears. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. The God of all creation, the one who hung the stars in the sky, desires nothing more than to spend time with us, no matter how we feel. So for 2014, whatever comes, as a community of faith, let's fight for joy. Let's keep each other accountable in our walk with God. Let's keep each other accountable in the way that we pray, in the way that we read, in the way that we love, no matter what our circumstances. Will you remind me of this in 3 months and in 6 months and even in 12 months? Whatever comes, encourage me, and in case, rebuke me. Nathan, fight for joy. God's presence is with us. Shall we pray? Lord, we thank you for the truth of who you are, that you are indeed good, that you are indeed merciful, that you are indeed present with us, no matter our circumstance, whether we are sick, whether we are healthy, you are with us. For that we are thankful. In Jesus' name, amen.